Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. It's the show where we talk about musicals and the lessons that we learned from them. We love musicals and we love you, our listeners, and I would love to say hi, Julie.
Hi, Miranda.
Hi, KB.
Hi, Miranda.
And I am Miranda Selwood. We are your hosts this evening, and our special guest is...
Johnstar? I guess. Do I do my last name? I don't know. Anderson. Chanstar Anderson. It's me. Hello.
Hello. Like it was Chanstar with a question mark.
Is that you can pick last... a new one if you want, but...
I've gotten used to this one, so I'll leave with it.
You'll
used
keep it. It.
Yeah.
All right. We have heard from you before. What show did you bring us last time?
I brought Silence.
Yes.
The musical.
With it has an exclamation mark, yeah, guys. That's why we have to say it that
like
way.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Was right. I not here for that?
No, you were not.
Oh, thank goodness.
I was also not here for that.
I was like, yeah. I'm just... completely forgotten.
We spent a lot of that episode trying to work out how to say the title.
That is true.
Silence.
Okay. But we're not talking about silence today.
We're talking
about sound today.
Sound.
The musical.
Sound.
No exclamation mark.
Oh, sorry. Question mark. Sound.
Perfectly sound. No, just sound.
What about comma? Sound and.
Sound. Ooh. Period. Sound.
Yes.
Grammar.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Though, because Julie and I missed it last time, we're going to do the quiz again, if that's okay with you.
That is okay.
Also, just because I haven't had a chance to sing the song in a long time, so I'm going to sing it for you. Are you ready?
You know what? Last time we did it, there was no song.
Well, Katie, it was like it.
So. I didn't sing it. I left it to Zane. Zane refused. So,
wow. Refused.
That's fun.
You can listen to it on
this
the silence.
This one's for you,
Chanstar.
Oh.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Did you like it?
I did. This is already
I'm
so much better.
I'm put it out there and
episode.
Say that's the best we've
I was
ever
about
heard.
To say, I like that version. It's so
thank
like
you, a little swingy.
Yeah. I will take that version any day.
Okay. I appreciate that I was the special one who got this swinging version.
Just for you. Just
that's for
you.
Coming to the live show. That's what you get.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the support there,
did
man.
You enjoy the live show?
I did. I'm disappointed there's no one dressed up as War of the Worlds characters today.
I am.
I'm dressed as a tripod right now.
I just am an
me
alien,
too.
So
that's what's happening. I am all brains. That's what I'm dressed as. No, but if you... that's it's an alien reference.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
stop
yeah,
laughing
yeah, yeah.
at me.
You're not laughing at you.
We're going to do the just, quiz.
It
fine.
Was just... I wasn't expecting it. It's a laugh out of unexpectedness.
Mine's dirty. I've turned it dirty.
But let's get back to the quiz because you sang
the
song
quiz.
And there were no questions.
Here we go. Here we go.
Yet.
Yes.
Here we go now. Question number one, which musical character would other people compare you to?
Oh, golly. See, I feel like last time I probably said Leo Bloom just because of like my nervous energy.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Mm. Yeah, I always wanted to... I'll leave that for the next two questions time.
Yeah, calm
but
down.
Yeah, I feel
down.
I feel Leo Bloom.
You're still in that arena.
Yeah, I think okay. I haven't changed.
Can I put a weird one out there for you?
Do it. Go crazy.
It is really weird.
Yeah, do
it. I'm feeling a Mr. Mistopheles.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Justify.
Vibe.
I don't know.
Is it because you've just seen Cats and now that's all
I
you
haven't
can
just
see?
Seen Cats. That was like 5 weeks ago.
That's closer than
I'm
you
just
ever
seeing,
had
like,
seen it before now.
Look, I feel like you'd be the kind of guy that might try
some sleight of hand magic.
So a magician.
Take that as you will.
She sees you as a magician.
Look, you're not wrong.
No, I don't see him as a magician.
A magician. You see me as someone who would
try. Julie.
Look, you're not wrong.
I think just the fact that he has turned up today wearing a top hat and a bow tie has confused you.
Yeah. This is just my general attire.
Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to? Who are you on the inside that you would like people to...
Once again, I can't remember what I said last time, but I feel like...
remember. You're a new man today. A new man.
It's been like, what, 6, 7 months It's been
a while.
It's been a long time.
Come on.
People change. Yeah. I feel like I've always wanted to be compared to Link from Hairspray, if just because...
Yes.
Oh, I want to be Zac Efron too, guys.
I want to be Zac Efron.
Thank you for joining the team.
Although, when you said Link, I did...
Think of Zelda?
Yes, yeah. Me too.
I'm like, it's not a musical chapter.
Oh, you guys don't know about yet. Zelda the musical?
Zelda the musical.
Probably
Zelda
is when you know.
Oh, well, I know that Brental Floss, a YouTuber, did a, like 3 or 4 different songs.
Well, it has music in it. Isn't there like a magic flute? No, harp?
Ocarina.
I mean, there definitely Ocarina, is
something called the magic flute.
Okay, good. All right. What's your dream role?
Dream role is once again Leo Bloom.
Oh, I think once again, Link and Zelda.
Yeah, well, actually, no, to be fair.
Link and Zelda the musical.
I would prefer to be Link, but I've always seen myself as Leo, so I'm like, oh, you know what? I want to be Leo.
All right, fair enough. It's a great role. You get to carry a little tiny towel around the whole time. It's great.
Oh, yeah, that's my dream.
That's the dream.
To just have a towel.
What is your favorite Sondheim show?
I'm going to say probably Sweeney Todd because it's the only one that's coming to mind at the moment.
Go on, Miranda.
What's your go-to shower song?
This one didn't have to be a musical.
No, it does not.
Well, right now I'm really feeling
all the rules from the quiz.
Yes, because I know it was probably definitely a Megan Trainor song. Right now I'm feeling.
Oh, sorry, Megan. That
she's a Megan.
Megan Trainor. Oh,
she's you're a Megan. She the, bass.
She's a, yeah,
and yeah. She's all about that bass.
All about that boot.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas I'm all about no at the moment.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Her
no.
song no.
Which is all caps for some reason. I've never understood why.
K-N-O-W.
Oh no. N O.
No.
Nah. Is that a Megan Trainor song?
It sure is.
Oh, I'm so you're just really into Megan Trainor, is what you're telling
me. Only
us.
In the
I
shower.
I am not ashamed to admit.
We're going
how did you know?
Weird places super quick tonight. Let's go one more weird place, shall we?
Let's do it. Let's
you
do
have
it.
To delete a musical from existence. Which weird one is it?
Well, I remember I definitely deleted Xanadu last time.
You did?
Well, it's already gone, so you get
yeah,
to pick
so I
another
can't
one.
Delete that. Oh, no, I haven't thought past Xanadu because it's okay, one that
why
I hate.
Your second least favourite musical.
And it can't be is. Cats.
I mean, yep, there
you go. You've now been cast in it.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's the only role I've got. Look, I feel like...
Magical.
Oh, you know what? Grease 2. I know it's not...
A stage
it's
show.
Not a stage show.
Reproduction.
Is going to offend some of our fans.
No,
to be fair.
Not us.
I'm pretty sure I was one of the ones at the live event.
Yeah.
Who was like, where's Grease 2? But that's purely ironic.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't talk about it because we knew that in the future you would delete it. And
yeah,
then
exactly.
It
and also
never
then
have existed.
Our second live show, Grease 2, would not have any purpose to it.
Our second live show is actually coming up quite soon.
Mm-hmm. Very soon.
It will be an interesting one. You might be interested in coming to this one.
Oh my gosh, is it Grease 2?
Dressed as the magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Oh.
Because we are going to do a brief... special episode following our private exclusive screening of Cats.
Yes.
Here I was thinking you'd never do Cats.
No,
but now there's a movie.
We have
done Cats.
Oh, you've done Cats?
Yes.
Unfortunately, we have. But
if
also,
if you are a patron or would like to become a patron, you can access the episode we did on Cats. But no, we're going to have an exclusive screening?
Yeah, like this opening, screening.
Opening night of Cats when it opens on the 26th of December. So put that right under Boxing Day on your calendar.
You can join
we'll
us.
We'll be there at the Cats opening.
Come see
I'm
our
so
pussy.
Glad you did.
Oh, sorry.
You can
I like
cut
it because
that out.
Pause,
I didn't do it.
Pause,
it
pause,
wasn't me.
Pause.
Yeah, you didn't wink audibly. We knew what you were saying, but they didn't.
Did you hear what she said?
Oh, I heard what she said.
Are we going to cut that out? We are definitely not. Rolling through.
It's up to producer Zane, guys.
It's now an explicit episode.
As if it wasn't already going
to be. This will
be
the last episode I'll be hosting for a long time.
But people can join us for the screening.
Yes, you can. You can buy tickets to the screening. Check out the show notes. I'm sure there'll be links everywhere. So you can join us. You'll have champagne and popcorn that you can either eat or throw at the screen. But don't do that because throw at the screen. You will have to go pick it up because we ain't cleaning that up for you. Cool. And then we'll do a brief review.
Reaction
episode with
which
everyone.
Which will just
It might be the best thing we've ever seen. Or the CGA might be so terrifying no one will be there at the end. We'll find out.
I mean, judging from the trailers, that seems to be the case.
They might fix it.
The dancing looks nice.
If nice. I have to find something to compliment it on, the dancing looks nice.
You know what? The wide shots where you don't see the faces, but you see the silhouettes of the cat, I'm like, that looks interesting.
If Jason Derulo doesn't go, Jason Derulo, in the middle of this, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
I'm walking out if he doesn't.
Speaking of CGI and interesting, and let's talk about The War of the Worlds,
yes.
Shall we? Hello. We are here to talk about the end of days as we know it.
Hello.
That's my Martian voice.
Is it?
That's offensive.
I would have assumed it was more Ula than anything.
Ula.
Now that's you have to do Martian Ula voice. in that Russian sounding thing.
I did not tell. Anyway, so Chelsea, you've brought us The War of the Worlds. The full title of this show is actually somebody's
Jeff Wayne's
musical version of The War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Tell us about Jeff Wayne's the musical version of War of the Worlds.
Well, personally, I didn't look up any actual history of it. I just have my personal history with
Can
it.
Can you tell us what the storyline is?
Nah, I want to hear this.
Have you read War of the Worlds? It's that.
Yeah, but what if some of us, and I'm not saying that one of them is me, because I've at least seen the movie.
Oh, no. With Tom Cruise in it? Oh, no, darling, no.
What is
The other movie's worse. The other movie is worse. So War of the Worlds is about
Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds.
Correct.
Yes.
Jeff Wayne's version of... God damn.
Yep.
Jeff Wayne's musical version of War of the Worlds is about a reporter who one day, asteroids land on Earth.
Should I be timing this?
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
I reckon Chance I can do it in 2 minutes.
I just feel like he
needs a bit of pressure. Here we go.
Okay. So there's a reporter.
There are journalists.
There's, big old explosion-y asteroid things. And why is there a time limit? Martians are in them.
Great.
And then the guy's all like, oi, what's this? And then there's a heat ray and it kills a bunch of people. So he runs away to London. Meanwhile, the Martians have got big tripody leg things. And he meets an artilleryman who, I don't know, might die, but he doesn't because he comes back later. Spoiler alert. He goes to London to find his girl, who definitely has a name, and then...
Let's call her Beth. Her name is Beth. Beth is the priest's wife.
Yeah.
All right.
Carrie?
Come on.
Carrie?
Don't look at me like that just because I
Carrie?
Have...
Carrie? Is it Carrie?
Way,
she's not in the character list for the show. So.
Yeah, she doesn't have any lines. Although... In the live version, there is a little video of her. But anyway, a bunch of stuff happens. The Thunder Child dies, which was the only last defense against the Martians. But hey, it turns out Martians suck and germs kill them in the end.
Yay! Cool. Well done.
Oh, wow. You missed a whole chunk
in there.
I
missed when the artilleryman comes back. I missed when, there's the priest.
You had plenty of time.
You missed how hot Richard
Burton
is.
You've still got 53 seconds.
I mean, that's true. Richard Burton's just hot the whole time. Then Liam Neeson came in the revival and, oh, gosh, we know how Liam Neeson is.
And they played the same role, didn't they?
Yes, we don't call it the revival. We call it the new generation.
The new generation.
So I have some thoughts.
And feelings.
Okay.
And feelings. Specifically about Jeff Wayne.
Yes. You dated him once?
No.
We've all been there.
There is a certain personality in this world who writes a musical version of The War of the Worlds and doesn't just call it The War of the Worlds. He calls it Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds.
You know who they are.
Conducted by Jeff Wayne, starring Jeff Wayne.
Yeah. It can be said, because you can say it on radio, he's a wanker.
Is he? I don't know if he is, but he's very animated in his conducting. Yeah. You can see it in the recording of the show.
Well, you've got to see it because he's there and he's not on stage, so he must be seen.
No, he is on stage. Yeah, he is on stage. He's in the center of the stage. Yeah. The actors literally have to walk around him.
Dead center.
Oh, my God, that is the wankiest. Dead center.
He is Jeff. Oh, this is Jeff Wayne.
That's what I see in... Oh,
so
no.
When the pictures came up, when you Googled, that was him.
Oh, that was Jeff Wayne.
He is a wanker.
I don't know if he is, but he's definitely very...
Tell us otherwise, Jeff Wayne.
...into this.
Like, he's very into it.
He's into it.
Sorry, can I ask, is the new generation, is it called Jeff Wayne's version of the musical version of the War of the Worlds,
a new generation?
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure of that. Yeah. To see how far the wankery goes.
The new generation consisted of... Liam Neeson instead of
Richard Burton,
and a reel up in the game of the holographs.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So Liam Neeson holograph interacts with the players on stage, which is actually pretty cool.
I mean, the Richard Burton one looks at them.
He punches him, and that's
pretty impressive.
They could have done it more because the first one was actually really impressive. He handed a glass of water to the artillery.
Ooh.
He handed him a glass of water. He was like walking on, and then he had a glass of water. I was like, it was sleight of hand magic.
It was sleight of hand magic. It was me all along, guys.
It was magical Mr. Mistopheles right there.
Tell me that this guy does not have tickets on himself. We'll post on the
show a photo. I mean, he looks like a guy in the music industry.
I mean, that is very true.
And that's what he is.
Yeah. He's got a ticket to ride himself.
Musically, though, I feel so much. So the original was 1978, I want to say.
Sounds right. It's 1978
was the original recording, which has earned the name of being a concept album in two discs. Mm-hmm. So an act one and an act two disc, following the story. But he says in interviews that he doesn't even know what concept album means. If he wanted to write a concept album, that's what he would have written. That's not what he wrote. He wrote Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds.
He wrote a rock opera, according to him. He wrote it.
Well,
rock
yeah.
He didn't.
But I think it actually came into its own in the 2000, whatever it was, that the first multimedia production with the holographs and things. Yeah. I think that's actually what it should have been at the start. This technology wasn't there yet.
No. Yeah.
So I kind of...
It is progressive in a lot of ways.
Good on him for sticking with the project that long. I don't know if he's ever done anything else with his life, but...
Yeah, he has done quite a bit.
Oh, he has?
He worked...
he did all the DVDs.
He was David Essex. He was David Essex, arranger and producer for a really long time until his dad was like, hey, you remember that time that you wanted to write a musical story?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So together they read a whole bunch of books and his dad was like, what about H.G. Wells? The War of the Worlds. I think that would make a really great show. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to put some pressure on myself. I'll book a studio. I've given myself 6 weeks to write the music. Here are like my thoughts, handed the thoughts to his dad's wife, and she wrote the script for it. And it was a real family kind of little project.
After we just called him a wanker.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Excuse me. Together that is what a wanker does. It goes, hey, daddy, will you listen to my music?
No, his dad came to him.
I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's like that. I think he's just very passionate about the project.
He is.
He may have also edited whatever KB is writing.
He may have. But the song Forever Autumn was already one of his songs. And so when he was in that process of writing that piece of the show, he was like, "This what I'm writing sounds like a song I've already written." And it was for a commercial to begin with. That's how it started. It started for a Lego commercial.
Should be right.
Lego commercial.
Yeah.
To be fair, Forever Autumn is kind of like stands out as like a completely different song. That's sung from the point of view as the journalist, right?
Yeah.
It's meant to be him, but it's not Richard Dunn singing.
The inner voice of the journalist.
He was like, it's already...
Which is a much nicer voice for singing.
Yes.
And he was like, this is the point of the show, which is about loss, and it's about, and I've written this song that fits perfectly, and although I want this to be a completely original work, this is the song that fits, and I have written it, so I'm going to put it in there.
Now he sounds like a lazy wanker.
No, he...
Back to
There is quite a bit of reusing the music. Yeah. I'd like to say there's maybe three musical themes that we hear a lot.
We call it a theme.
A theme. Which reminds me of another writer who's from England who's done quite well reusing a lot of his material.
Oh, did you say his material?
Somebody else's material.
There we go.
Reusing somebody else's material.
But when you listen to this, it really does feel very Andrew Lloyd Webber.
It does a little.
Yeah, I think it's a synth, to be honest.
Yeah, that's
that. It's also that classical rock blend.
Yeah.
And the way it's orchestrated is very, very 1970s Lloyd Webber. 70s, 80s.
I think it was probably just like 70s.
That's what they were doing.
That was what the 70s was.
Yeah, they're like, this is going to be the new sound.
It has sold a lot of copies of the album, though. Like, even now, it's... What? It was named the 32nd best-selling studio album of all time in the UK.
I mean,
that was last year.
We contributed to the streams today.
It's legitimately the first DVD, first CD I remember owning, and it was the first musical I remember listening to a lot.
Definitely a Mistopheles now.
It's crazy.
Guys, what about the elephant in the room?
That Shannon Knoll has been in
the show. She played the priest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I saw that live.
Was
and it
there?
Is yes.
That's the voice.
Sounds
though,
like
you
the worst
to,
idea.
Because I was like, that's a really weird choice. But then I listened to the songs that he's meant to be singing. And I'm like, it does suit Shannon Knoll's voice.
Yes.
Very well.
Yeah. More so than Jason Donovan, yes. who played it just before him.
Or Michael Falzon, who also has played it.
Like, far too classical.
Yeah. Like,
he didn't look... much like the rock, because I'm pretty sure he still had the soul patch.
Probably.
Disgusting.
As this 1890s priest,
you know
he
what?
Had a soul patch.
He probably refused to shave it just
probably.
To be a wanker.
The design of the production is usually quite, what's the word? Steampunk-ish?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, a little sort of modern take on rather than authentically.
I think it's interesting, though, with this project in general, is that it's always a step ahead of its time. So the book was the kind of the prototype for science fiction.
Yeah.
So it was ahead of its game in that way. H.G. Wells was the first kind of science fiction writer. And then when Orson Welles turned it into a radio play, it had... People were so freaked out by it, thinking it was a real broadcast that he had to make a public apology the next day. Again, a little bit ahead of its time. And now this show has come out and it's got holograms interacting with live actors on stage. Again, it's that once. And it was produced too soon because it wasn't able to have the technology.
Yeah.
Everything about War of the Worlds has always been a step ahead of where the world is at. And that, I think, is the most fascinating thing about this project. I just love it. What will be next, guys?
Let's
not talk about the movie. It was not ahead of its time.
No.
Both of the movies were pretty bad.
What's the other one?
It was, I want to say early 70s. I think it was before this musical, Jeff Wayne's musical version of War of the Worlds. Instead of tripods, they were flying machines, and the whole thing was about a scientist who was trying to figure out the Martians, and they nuke them at one point. It's bad. It's not good.
Too many liberties with the story.
What makes the War of the Worlds work is that it's always just like one person who's looking at the stuff happening, and they don't really understand it. That's why I prefer the Tom Cruise one, because Tom Cruise is just a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
This one is just a journalist.
1953.
That's old.
That
movie.
Was definitely before Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the worlds. Gosh, that's a long title.
It's a long title. I like the story of how he got Richard Burton to play the role.
Tell us the story, please. Okay,
this is my fun fact, guys. And I'm just going to quote the article that, like, it was an interview with Jeff Wayne. So it's his words. During the composing period, I realized the journalist character was the key, the thread that ran through the whole thing. I wanted someone with a voice that would take the listener right inside this world. In my view, Richard Burton's voice was like a musical instrument. So I wrote him a letter. No emails in those days. Addressed to the theater in New York where he was doing Equus. A few days later, his manager called to say Richard loved the idea. Count him in, dear boy, he said. I'll never forget those words. I was in shock. Richard was about to go to California to do the Exorcist follow-up. So David Essex and Jeff were like, let's go to California to record with him.
While they were doing the Exorcist 2, they were like, oh yeah, by the way.
By the way, let's record this non-concept album.
Yes.
Not a concept album.
But I just love the like, count him in, dear boy. And count it's like the 70s. It's not like at all the time you would think 1800s. That would be
ascended. Yeah. I like the fact that he's like, the journalist is the key to everything. It's literally the main character of the book. You would think the main character in the book's probably the key to everything.
Yeah. Unless you were making a movie with Tom Cruise and then you would cut the journalist out altogether.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Or if you're making the 1950s movie and make it a scientist.
It's always had something to say, this story. And it's, I think it sticks with us because it's timeless in a sense because, you know, aliens appearing could happen literally at any time.
They might already be here.
They might already be here if you watched the Tom Cruise version.
Well, technically, that was just the machines were already here. They traveled via light. Yes.
The political commentary of the story stays 100% relevant and is possibly even more relevant now than before.
It's kind of cycled around and become relevant again.
But I did think it was this latest version in the new generation added a whole section at the beginning with footage of the aliens talking about why they had to leave Mars and come to Earth.
Right.
Their Wi-Fi password.
And it was...
it's rough, guys.
It's rough. I think that was an unnecessary addition, but I can kind of see what they were trying to...
They were trying to make...
To make it about a bit of an environmental statement as well, saying we've used up all our resources and, you know, there's nothing left to do but go and...
I mean, that was always the case because that's why they brought the red weed here. It was always like they used up their resources.
But to have blatantly sort of...
Yeah, that kind of ruins it, honestly.
But the other thing that it ruined for me was it gave the... aliens in themselves a design and a voice. And
I don't like that.
I wanted to... That was better being a mystery.
Yeah.
Exactly what they looked like. Were they trying to make... Why they were here and...
Aliens the more personable.
Which I don't like either.
I know. It's a strange tactic.
Sort of so that you can see them as a villain in the story.
Like, sorry, can I ask what they look like in the new generation? I haven't listened to... listened to one... Oh, yeah, because they do describe them when they first come out of the tubes.
All brains.
They are thick, leathery, pretty much blobs with big disc-shaped eyes. They describe it exactly how they describe it in the book.
The disc-shaped eyes are just like... holes in this design, and they have like a weird sort of mouth thing with tentacles coming out of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how they're described.
A blob.
Big old blob, because the gravity on Mars is really low, so they'd have to be really big to stick to the ground.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you been to Mars?
I have actually. Oh no.
So sorry.
The Martians are upon us already.
Oh my God.
Guys.
Yes.
Are you ready for bad reviews with Julie?
Oh, this is the new segment, Chance.
You need to get yourself a theme tune.
Yeah, what is it?
Net bad reviews with Julie.
I think it needs to be It needs to be more.
We've got that somewhere. Anyway, I won't put that pressure on Zane. This is a review in The Independent by Holly Williams. It's a 2-star.
She loved it.
The War of the Worlds Dominion Theatre London Review. Bombastic, bloated, and accidentally hilarious.
Oh dear.
There's potential for it to become a kiddish cult classic so bad it's delicious style, but there's a lot that's just bad.
Aww. What year is this review? Sorry.
Friday the 19th of February 2016 at 1:48
p.m. So this is the new generation.
Is this the new generation or a community production?
No, the Dominion Theatre. West End. This is a West End production of it.
Guys, it's in the Independent. Google it if you want the rest of the review. I just thought that was a tasty little...
It's bad. Mm. It's funny because...
But there's just a lot of... It's bad.
It's bad. CBS USA was like, we don't want it. But CBS UK was like, we love it. Let's back it big time. So it's interesting that the reviews from the UK are not so long.
I would like to know whether that's the new generation or not, just because listening to just the music of it, I didn't like a new generation very much. But I think that's just because I've been brought up with the original.
They added in more. They made it longer.
No,
the music is already very much like, here's the theme of this song. And then we'll repeat it 3 or 4 times with a long bridge of instrumental in the middle, which is the same thing.
I wasn't entirely sure the music changed.
Yeah.
Are we on a new track yet?
It's actually sort of interesting the way the songs weave together and have the... I actually think it's really interesting in form. And there's some interesting ideas and themes, but they're overused and a little too repetitive for me. It's really good to put on in the background and you have like nice sing-along moments because you learn it the first verse and you package it together in the second verse. And then by the third and fourth and fifth iterations, you know it. You can sing along.
It's true. It's true, but some people gave it some awards, and those people were Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, and Alfred Hitchcock. Decided
they know what
that
they
gave honorary excellence in music writing. Might. So,
well, this it was interesting, and the way they voiced the aliens in the music, the way they used the themes in the music.
It was the best recording in science fiction and fantasy.
They gave See, that makes sense.
I mean, how many other options were there?
The Doctor Who theme tune's pretty good, guys.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
But
it doesn't go for like an hour.
Bam, bam, bam. Amazing. Little delay on the button there. Sorry, guys. Let's talk about casting.
Let's talk about cast, baby.
I've forgotten his name. How could I forget this?
Liam Neeson.
Zac Efron's musical version of The War of the Worlds.
I put Zac Efron in as the voice of humanity.
I would put Zac Efron in as the artilleryman.
Yeah, I immediately thought the artilleryman.
Adam Garcia's played it and I want him back because he's my first love.
Keep casting people who've done it already, KB.
Fine, Zac Efron as the artilleryman and Adam Garcia can play the voice of humanity because that was a role he hasn't played before, even though he's done the show before.
All right. Yeah, good on you. Although Jason Donovan went from artilleryman to the priest, pastor. Yes. What's his name?
The priest.
Parson.
The pastor?
No, Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. Oh, yeah.
Nathaniel.
They say that name quite a lot. You'd think I'd remember by now.
Nathaniel.
Whereas I only remember Beth because it's Beth
every time
when she dies.
Yeah,
what?
Spoiler alert.
But I really want to. Okay, Carrie Hope flies into heaven. Played Beth, and she's really good. So can we just pretend that your rule doesn't exist anymore and keep her?
Just think of somebody else.
Well, she's like a very like Barrett Wilbur
super wingy.
I don't mean to be looking at your screen, but you've just kept like most of the cast.
Liam Neeson is generally amazing. I would keep Liam Neeson in anything.
Liam Neeson is generally amazing, but you know who else can be Liam Neeson? Sam Neill.
No, that's fair.
Or Ralph Fiennes.
Just stealing it from somewhere else you put. Ralph Fiennes would be good. I reckon Idris Elba would be great as the journalist.
I put him as the voice of NASA.
I think the NASA bit is always unnecessary. That's the part where I always skip.
But that's why you put Idris Elba into that role.
I'll actually listen.
Yeah, because you want to hear his voice.
I always want to hear Idris Elba's voice.
I know how to do things.
I'd rather be a journalist, though.
I just put rockish voice for Parson Nathaniel.
I think you could take the original Australian cast of Jesus Christ Superstar
and put it into the show.
Plant it into this show.
You could probably put the original cast of any of Jesus Christ Superstars around the world and put them all
I
into
want
the
all
show.
The Johns.
You want all
and
the
then
Johns?
Kate Soprano. Yep. That's it.
Done.
Yep, John Farnham.
I have kept
as not in it.
No, he's in it.
No, he's not.
Yeah, John Farnham has had too many comebacks. This cannot be another one.
No, I'm totally keen for John Farnham being
John Stevens
Nathaniel.
Can play the voice of humanity.
Okay.
And John
Legend
Waters.
Waters.
He can play the journalist, but the one that
Guys,
doesn't sing.
Did you notice we all just named a different John? That has been Jesus Christ.
They were all in the same cast.
Not John Legend.
Oh, no.
I'm naming the good cast.
John English will be in this.
I would argue John Waters is the best we've cast so far.
Yeah. Zac Efron.
Oh, no, good point. Sorry.
Thank you.
Can we just make Zac Efron the journalist?
I want to put Jeremy Jordan as the singing journalist, but that's only because I cast him in everything now. It's him and Zac Efron.
I would put Jeremy Irons in as the singing journalist.
Put him in
singing,
as the normal journalist.
Singing Forever Autumn. Yeah. I can't imagine Jeremy Irons singing Forever Autumn.
He is very good live.
But you know what? It's just because the guy who was in the cast of the DVD that I was watching, actually, sorry, it was Blu-ray. ahead of its time, War of the Worlds, looked just a little bit like Jeremy Irons.
He's
so
very good.
That's who I can see.
And all, as I have come to realize, all British actors seem to have been trained in the vocal techniques of the singer as well as the actor.
The singer,
so
yes.
I reckon he'd pull it off.
Totally.
Just fine.
Totally pull it off.
Julie?
Yeah,
any
babe.
Thoughts, feelings, concerns of this
None
one?
Of them.
No?
Wow.
None of them at all?
No, no concerns. Okay. Not worried about any of it.
Okay. Good to know.
So is that it? Are we done?
I mean, if I'm not allowed to keep half the cast, then yeah.
Well, let's talk top fives. Top five most successful concept albums.
Yes.
That aren't concept albums?
Take that.
That are not concept albums.
It is a concept album.
I'm going to say top five surprisingly popular musicals.
Surprisingly?
It sold 15 million copies.
Surprisingly.
Very
surprisingly.
Popular.
I'd give it a top five Shannon Knowles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, he's only got one and this might be
roles
it.
For Shannon Knowles.
Top five progressive Boy. Rock musicals.
Yeah.
Top five alien musicals. They're
there
in
should
their kids.
Be more of those.
There should be more.
There isn't, though.
Is there? What else would be on that list?
Might be top one.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Is there a Superman the musical yet? There is. So,
there
yes,
is.
That
there
counts.
There we go. You've got an alien there.
Does That's it
an
count?
Alien. He's an alien.
Counts, okay. E.T. the musical? I don't
E.T.
know.
E.T. the musical?
I'm Googling alien musicals as
What about
top alien
five
the musical?
Apocalyptic
yeah.
musicals?
Alien verse musical.
There you go.
What?
I'd put it in that list.
Yeah.
I'd also put it in the list of musicals I never knew existed. That's a personal top
Guys!
Five.
I'm surprised when people don't know it.
Producer Zane has just pointed out that Little Shop is an
oh,
alien musical.
Question though, depending on how that's directed, maybe not.
Rocky Horror?
Rocky Horror, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
I think it's still top five.
Yeah,
still top five, guys.
I think there's a lot.
Top five shows that work well in arena spectacular form.
Yes.
Top five
holograph.
Holograph.
I know that Tupac concert's pretty good.
I think that.
Ooh, top five Liam Neeson's as well.
Top
I feel
five
like
Liam Neeson.
How many other Liam Neeson musicals have there been?
I feel like everything Liam yeah. Neeson does is
a top five.
Top five
it's
Liam Neeson.
It's a top 150,000 list of Liam Neeson. I think that's too like a lesson in that there is there are different ways to do musicals. We talked about that last week's episode, but it's like I never ever thought that a hologram interacting with an actor on stage would be a thing that could be amazing, you know, until there was sleight of hand magic and all. You know, and that's really fun.
Did we skip lessons?
I believe we did because I have a very important lesson that I learned.
You know what? My microphone stand was over it.
This is why we can't have nice things.
What's
Guys.
Your...
It's, we'll come back to it.
We'll
Let's
back.
Finish
okay.
top five.
Oh, really? We're not just going to not do it?
Hologram.
No, we'll
top
back.
Five holograms.
top five episodes Miranda forgot a segment on. It's probably about five.
Top five book to movie to musical, even though they're all different iterations.
Nah, mate. Book, no, mate. Well, no, I mean, taking
technically,
it.
it's based iteration. On the book yeah. rather than the movie.
That's true.
But you could consider it the radio play. The radio play is also true. The same story.
Book so. To radio play to musical.
Ooh, Orson Welles would have been a good narrator.
He
dude.
Would have been a good journalist.
Yeah.
Good old Orson.
But that's not what we're doing right now.
No, we're not. Sorry.
We're mixing up the segments for fun today, guys.
This is just a complete mess.
I don't have any more top fives.
Neither do I.
Do I have any is the real question.
Oh, top
come on.
Five.
No, we're not doing it.
Oh.
It was a joke.
Okay. How about... No. How about...
No.
Personally, I blame myself for this, guys.
Why? I don't. I blame Miranda.
Everyone else in the room's blaming me, so it's fine. So no. Has anyone learned any lessons from...
No, because we skipped it now. Oh. Learn anything.
I learned that holograms interaction with actors could be a really cool concept in the show. Yeah,
yeah.
So I learned... Now, this was just from when I watched it live, because I've seen this live.
Yeah.
There's always been a bit in the music that I've always been like, what the hell is that sound? Where it's like a wah, 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 wah. It's during the first half.
Yes.
And when I saw it live, it turns out it's a guy...
Yes.
With a microphone going yes. wah wah.
Yes, it is.
It's like Never Meet Your Heroes, guys. It's really disappointing.
It's not the synth. It's not an orchestra. It's no. just a dude.
It's
with
just a
mic.
Dude going wah wah.
No, but
you
I think
couldn't
cool.
tell that though.
No, well,
you
no,
really couldn't hear it
because I mean, it's got like a voice.
Well, now,
yeah, but I knew that was a dude.
Now I know that. Like when I listen to it now, I'm like, oh yeah, that was really obvious.
No, but it could very easily have been like a guitar wah-wah sound.
Wah-wah.
Yeah,
wah,
it could
wah.
Have been. It could have been.
It could have. I'm not saying it wasn't. I just like making the sound.
When I listen to the soundtrack, I always think I can hear one of those things that you play that doesn't have any...
Oh, theremin.
Theremin.
That's
oh, it. I love that thing.
But then when in the live, I couldn't see a theremin.
Yeah, I haven't.
So
I
then
see
I was like,
either.
Oh.
You know what that would
not.
Be? Keyboard.
Yeah, it might be. And then that makes me sad.
Here's a way to hurt you. It's a
but
keyboard.
But in the 70s, the theremin was pretty.
It probably was in
so
the first
might have been
edition.
Originally.
In the original recording.
Yeah. They
but
don't
once
trust
you get a
anyone
theremin
to
on
play
stage,
it live.
Yeah, because like people would be like playing with bows and stuff, and if that bow goes over the theremin, it's going to ruin the music.
Just move it further away.
Nah, you want the theremin in the action.
It's in the green room.
That's why we never saw it. It was in the green room the whole time.
Maybe it was there and I couldn't see
I learned Shannon Knoll is an amazing priest, guys.
Amazing.
He was the best part.
Wow. I would look. Well, okay, I think no. that Knollsy was robbed, and I personally think he's very talented.
Where?
So I would
you potentially blinded by being like, I know that guy.
No, because no, I was going, why the hell is Knollsy in this? This is going to be the worst.
Because Knollsy was robbed and we're trying to give him back what was taken from him.
So we're just trying to build him up, give him everything.
Yeah. I learned that if you want someone to be in your show, you just have to write them a letter.
A very nice letter.
Well, we have done a lot of that.
Have we, though?
Dear Zac Efron.
We're not stalkers. We just talk about you a lot.
I've just looked up the orchestra, Miranda.
Yes.
For you.
For me?
Yes. There is absolutely none.
No theremin.
No theremin.
It's Thomas Gandley on keyboards/synthesizers.
It's always going to be the synth.
There is a harp, though.
There,
like a rock harp.
Yes, there is. That's Julia Thornton, percussion harp, and more keyboards. There is 1, 2, 3, 4.
A lot of keyboards.
5, 6, 7. 7 keyboards in the one show.
But they all need to make different sounds.
Yes. Oh, hear me out. You could probably use instruments for that, but
no,
whatever.
Because there's a lot of instruments.
There's a lot of electronic
well.
Music.
Yeah, it is.
And this is the what I was talking about before, that blend of the classical orchestra sort of sound and the rock sound was like massive use of strings and then electronic and rock And for some reason, the harp is on the rock side of the band, not on the strings side of the band. But that's a whole other thing. Anyway, we're doing lessons.
It's a rock harp.
So we're learning them right now.
What have we learned from...
I learned that music really can be part of the sound design. Because, like, as a filmmaker, I'm, like, very into sound.
Mm.
And I didn't really realize how much it affected me until I saw it live. And I noticed how many of the sounds, like the heat ray is just music again. And then they shine a big light in your eyes. And it was real cool, guys.
Big light in your eyes.
Yeah, and there was a big tripod that came down and it shot a light at you. And I was like, oh, I'm dead. Oh, no. Heat ray.
Heat
probably.
Ray. Sound design in musicals.
I think there is certainly lessons to be learned about good ways to use a theme and use musical licks, I guess.
Yeah.
To maybe cut it down by 10 minutes.
Yeah. Look, I learned maybe less repeats. Sometimes less is more.
Sometimes less is more.
I've forgotten his name again already.
Jeff Wayne.
How could you forget? Don't let Jeff Wayne hear this. If Jeff Wayne finds out that you've forgotten who Jeff Wayne is while we're talking about Jeff Wayne's musical version of War of the Worlds.
You know what
his
I learned?
His name is in the title.
He already
it's
knows.
Not called The War of the Worlds. It's called
Jeff Wayne's
musical version of The War of the Worlds.
I will admit, I did not realize that until today. I feel like I've always seen it. Because it says Jeff Wayne in pretty big letters up the top.
There's actually, I watched a bit of an interview, which is a DVD extra, sorry, Blu-ray extra.
And
he very specifically says that he named it that for a reason.
And what was
Did
the reason?
Did he name the reason? Yeah.
Being a wanker. And so that people knew that it wasn't just The War of the Worlds.
Well, I guess whenever someone talks about the book, it's always H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds.
And this is... Jeff Wayne's musical version of.
So maybe that's why.
And then we call the Tom Cruise one the Tom Cruise one.
Oh,
or the Spielberg
I thought we
one.
Called it bad.
Yes, we did.
No, the 50s one is badder.
Badder.
Barra.
Badder. Yeah.
Did anything else we learned from The War of the Worlds? Look.
Religious people crazy?
Whoa, yeah. Yep.
In some places.
The pastor is the first one to go completely nuts.
Pastor sounds so good right now, guys.
With nuts, maybe?
No, Nathaniel, no.
Pine nuts, yeah, right.
Is happening? I don't know. Did you learn any more lessons from The War of the Worlds?
Did not learn any more lessons from The War of the
Worlds. Well, we might let this one go, and we've already done Dreamcast and Top 5, so we're just heading into the end of the episode now. Are you all prepared for this?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for the end?
I am.
And this is it, guys. We're at the end of the episode. There's a lot of laughter happening at the table.
It's because Julie and I were dancing during our musical interstitial.
And it was similar and to begin with.
Yeah, then we ended.
And it was identical to end with. It was great.
And now we've spent too much time together. Keep going.
I think the audience really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what you learned, though, during the live
That is audience true. Recording, I really did.
Is that we dance during the interstitial music.
We do. It's fun.
And drink during the whole recording.
Anyway, Chancer.
They know that. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Thank you for bringing us. Oh, God. Jeff Wayne.
Are you serious?
Jeff Wayne's musical. I'm really bad with names.
She wasn't even acting.
He's got two first names. It's confusing.
It's like Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
But Bruce Wayne.
Like that. But different. Thank you for bringing us Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds. A new generation. No,
not a new generation.
Not a new
generation. Offense. I love Liam Neeson, but I don't like
Richard
the music.
Richard Burton's very good too. Yes. Mm. Great to see a good little British show doing so well. It was fun to go back and listen to it because I haven't in many, many a year and finally watch my Blu-ray disc.
How long have you had the Blu-ray disc?
I've owned the Blu-ray disc for about 5 years and never watched it before yesterday.
I'm glad I gave you a reason.
Thank you. No, I'm glad too. And I watched all the extras. I'm very enlightened. Who are you? What are you doing?
Oh, well.
is Chancer Henderson. He's been here for the last hour talking about.
Do you not remember? Oh, man, this is embarrassing.
I'm bad with names. Okay. Jeff, was it?
Yeah, Jeff Wayne.
Jeff Wayne.
I made the musical version of... So I'm Chance Star. I'm also on one of the podcasts under this lovely umbrella of That's Not Canon Productions, called Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. We review movies and stuff. I'm also part of another review website called inconceivablereviews.com. Mm. I recently...
This word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
That's exactly why we called it that. I actually recently had my most recent reviewed shared by the director of the film. I'm super uncomfortable because I'm like, no.
You can be quoted.
Was it a good review?
I mean, I think they said it was fair and balanced, and I was like, well, that's good.
You want a fair and balanced review.
Exactly. I tore into the technical side a bit too much, maybe.
They shared it, though.
Yeah, they shared it.
Yeah.
I loved the movie, so it was good.
I think it's important to give your opinion honestly. I think people appreciate that.
I do it all the time.
I appreciate it. Jeff Wayne appreciates
Jeff
it.
Jeff Wayne, yeah.
He now appreciates the fact that Jeff you know Wayne, his name.
The wanker.
Oh, no. Not all of us condone this message.
opinions.
Yes. Well, thank you. Do you have anything else to share, plug?
But I never remember these things. I'm not good at self-promotion.
You have some films up that people can watch.
Yeah, why not? I've got films. Mm. You can find my films. I've got L Plates and Pizza Deliverance both on Vimeo.com. You can find them probably if you look for them. both of them are action comedies, and my most recent film, Lace, should be released maybe at the end of the year, depending on if I get into this film festival within the next week.
Who knows? Well, all the best with your filming career and review. We look forward to hearing your review of Tom Cruise's version of The War of the Worlds on Mighty Motion Picture Rangers very soon.
I feel like we've done it already. I can't remember.
We'll have to go back and find out. Anyway, thank you very much. I have been Miranda Selwood. Oh, what? Sorry?
Cats.
Yeah, don't forget about Cats.
We already spoke about Cats.
One more plug for Cats so people know.
All right.
It's been a long episode.
I've probably forgotten everything. They're like, Jeff Wayne, that's the only thing I remember.
Bruce Wayne, Batman was in this musical.
Guys, we're doing a live episode of Cats. It's happening Boxing Day, December 26th. Be there, be square. You can find it on our Facebook. There's a beautiful little event. Click that you're going. Go pay your tickets. There's only 50 seats. So
it's very exclusive.
Or be square.
And feel free to dress up as a cat, but don't.
But do.
Dress up Thank as a CGI you. Cat.
This has been Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. I'm Miranda Selwood. That's
Julie Eisentrager.
And that's...
It's me, KB.
KB, thank you very much, Chance, for coming on. Thank you, producer Zane. Let's go home.
Bye.
Let's talk about X, baby.
Crappy relationships, the bane of our collective existence. But what do we learn from our mistakes?
I'm relationship columnist Liz Best.
And I'm funny guy Tom Harris.
Ghosts of Boyfriends Past will chat to guests about love gone wrong and take you on a journey through the funny, tragic, horrifying...
And sometimes just plain bonkers stories about that crazy little thing called love. It's like a group therapy session.
With two people completely unqualified to be leading it. New episodes drop fortnightly on Thursday, so join in to hear tales of heartbreak and woe and hopefully wind up a little wiser or drunker for it.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.